9:40 on the Friday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. Rich Jones, Christine Bellino, Benjamin Fritkus, live with you at the Florida Theater. We are inside the Remedy Lounge, which was established in 2022. And I think that that's another cool part of the Florida Theater experience is while there's history, there's also a lot of newness, like the seats, like the restrooms, and the experience has that blend because it needs to for a facility that is 97, soon to be 98 years old. But it also does tie in so much of the history. And the president of the Florida Theater, Numa Sasselin, is with us again. And, you know, just looking at the names on the walls and Don Rickles and some of the other people who are no longer with us today.
Bob Hope.
And I mean, how firmly do you hold on to that past while also programming out the future?
That's a really good question. You know, we hang on to the past a lot. We have a picture of Bob Hope on a publicity tour sitting in the screening room, which is on the seventh floor of this building. And I don't really know what the date is, but it's pretty cool to think that Bob Hope was here in the 40s or 50s on a publicity tour. But yet there's always someone new, and we embrace that. I talked earlier about performers who come here repeatedly because they love it and we love them. But one third of our shows every year are consistently new performers, either new to Jacksonville or new to Florida Theater or both. And, you know, you grow or you die. You embrace new or it's over. So it's a big room. It's almost 2,000 seats. So a singer-songwriter, you know, you've never heard of is not going to be here because it's a big room and it's expensive to operate. But, you know, when performers are starting to sell 500, 600, 700 tickets, that's when they start to come on our radar. And, you know, we embrace new. And I think part of our mission is to get people to Jacksonville who have not been here before so that Jacksonville can see them. And that's exciting when that happens. Yeah.
And one of the other exciting things is to honor your performers. You have special beverages for each performer. We do have a video exclusive where you take us on a little tour behind the bar. But tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, every night the bartenders come up with a themed drink for that performance. So, you know, it might be something with a Hawaiian theme for Jimmy Buffett show. It might be a bourbon-themed drink for a singer-songwriter from Nashville. I honestly don't know how they do it because 200-plus nights a year, that's a lot of drinks to invent. But every night there's some sort of a new themed drink. So, you know, you come to a room like this, it's not always the same experience.
Huh. So we'll have to see what tomorrow night's will be. It's got to be some red, white, and blue theme for Brian Kilmeade, right?
I would think.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Hopefully Stephanie, our bar manager's listening, and she says, oh, red, white, and blue.
Now or we're messing her up because she's already thought of something that's not red, white, and blue.
But you talk about the team here. It's, what, 26 full-time, but you have volunteers who are ushers. And are these people who are here every year? How does the part-time, the volunteering all tie in with the full-time programming that happens?
Yeah, so there are actually 34 full-time employees, about another 200 part-time employees.
Wow.
So all the bartenders, security workers, stagehands are all part-time. But a lot of them work here almost full-time hours over the course of a year. We deliver an $18 million economic impact to downtown every year. So in addition to those jobs, there's about another 250 jobs in the area that depend on our activity. Bartenders, waiters, restaurant workers. Every night we're open, the ice guy has another delivery. Every month we're open. Weather engineers has another stop to change our filters. So a lot of people depend on the Florida Theater for their job and their income. And we're very proud of that. In addition to all of that, there are about 200 folks who volunteer to usher at every performance. So when you show up at our front door and someone says, hi, how are you? And do you have your tickets? And here's the box office. And that's the security line. And someone tells you where to find the bathroom. That's a volunteer. Someone who just likes hanging out and serving the community and has found their niche at the Florida Theater.
And you must have some long-serving volunteers.
Yeah, we have people who have been here 20-plus years, which is super fun. I mean, those people have more institutional knowledge than I do.
So they get to see the shows for free, I'm assuming.
They do get to see the shows for free.
But they're working.
But they're working. You know, they don't get to sit down. You know, they have to keep an eye on the door. And some of them are really good at their jobs. And even though they're volunteers, we approach it that way. Like, it's a job, and you're here to provide really great customer service to the customers.
Are you looking for more volunteers constantly?
We're always looking for volunteers. Yeah. About half of our active volunteers right now, I was just told this yesterday, about half of our active volunteers right now are people who just signed up in the last 2 years.
Wow.
There's a sign up on our website, floridatheater.com. And we take applications all the time, and four times a year we run training programs.
Hmm. I think, you know, when we think about the success of organizations and events that happen that are longstanding, the lifeblood is usually those who kind of give of themselves and volunteer their time. And we see it with Symphony when we're there for performances, and the people who are ushers and probably even some of the same.
Some of the same people.
But the Players' Championship. So you talk about a small and then a large, and it takes volunteers to hold it together. How has the story that you tell about the Florida Theater's success had to evolve over time to try to attract more people to work here and volunteer here?
It was, you know, going back to the late 70s, early 80s, when the city and the then Arts Assembly of Greater Jacksonville collaborated to purchase the building and turn it into a performing arts center, that was very much a citizen volunteer effort. Like, let's save this place and turn it into something. And it has evolved over time. And in just the 12 years that I've been here, we've gone from like a $3 million budget to last year, $18 million passed through our coffers. And changes have to happen for that to happen. You know, if you, I said earlier, you know, you grow or you die, and part of growing is evolving. A lot of volunteers used to do a lot of jobs here, and that's possible when you're having 50 shows a year, but things have to change if you're doing 200 plus shows a year.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've managed that process as well as we could have. And we will continue to do that because we're not done. There's work left to do, and there's another 100 plus nights on the calendar to fill up.
When do you ever take a break?
We don't. we take a break on Christmas.
But it sounds like you all love it so much that, yeah, you know, it's really not work.
Yes. And the people who, I mean, Don said earlier, one predictor of success as a board member here is that you are already involved with us as a customer or a donor. And I think the common thread there and the common thread on the staff is that, you know, you have to like what this is. If you're someone who wants to punch a clock, you know, you show up at 9 o'clock and you leave at 5 o'clock, that's okay. And you might work here for a long time, but you're not gonna thrive because you really need to love it to be here and understand that, you know, we're like a 24/7 operation. When you all rolled up this morning, there was a set of buses and trucks on the street for, yep, Alton Brown. That was O'Dark 30. They will have that show tonight. They'll load that show out. And then tomorrow, there's another set of vehicles out front for Brian Kilmeade. And when Brian's gone, there'll be another set of buses and trucks out there for the next day, which is the Yamato drummers from Japan. And on we go.
And that's just, that shows the diversity. There's three shows that probably have totally different audiences.
That is the cool thing of my job, that I get to see such a cross-section of Jacksonville like many other institutions don't get to see. We're all very tribal now in our political parties and our schools and our places of worship. And I think the Florida Theater is kind of a secular church. It's a place where people can all come together to enjoy a performance for a night. And, you know, when you sit down tonight to see Alton Brown, and you look to your left and you look to the right, you know nothing about those people, except you both like Alton Brown.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty cool thing.
That was so well said. You should run the place here.
I was afraid you were about to say I should run for office. Which was,
I know better than that. I like you too much, yes.
But, you know, tonight, Alton Brown. Tomorrow night, Brian Kilmeade. The night after that, Yamato Drummers of Pan. The night after that, Chris Bodie, jazz trumpeter. And on and on. Every night, you know, we will go from gospel to hip-hop to comedy to jazz to a classic rock show and back. And every night is different and every audience is different.
And Uma, if a school wants to get involved in the...
Oh, I'm so glad you said
that.
How
do they do that with you? And how far are you booked in advance?
Yeah, so we have a very active program for schools called Theater Works. Theater Works does two different things. We have shows here at the theater. So 20 or 30 times a year, school children get on big yellow buses from all over the First Coast, drive downtown, and come to an educational show in the morning. Theater Works also sends shows directly to schools. We do that 40 or 50 times a year as well. All of those performances are arts education, curriculum theme performances specifically for schools, generally grades K through 8. But each show will be targeted at a much smaller demo. So we have something coming up soon. I'm forgetting what it is, but I remember that it's K through 4. But they're all curriculum themed for science, for literature, for history. And, you know, it's one thing to be a kid with a storybook in class and read about George Washington. But it's another thing to come to a theater like this for the first time when you're, you know, 8, 10 years old and see George Washington come to life on stage. And we're very proud of that program. And I talk to folks now who are in their 30s, early 40s, who came here as kids themselves, who are now coming back as chaperones with their kids. And the timing's about right because the Florida Theater's been opening again since 1983. And, you know, there's a point of 10 or 20 years from now where grandparents will be coming in and saying, I came here for the first time on a school bus, and now my grandchildren are coming on an electric hovercraft. But they're still coming to see a show at the Florida Theater.
That's true. And you could say that this was Elvis's first concert on an indoor stage at the Florida Theater. And maybe, just maybe, kids will still say, I know Elvis, as opposed to who?
Right. Yeah.
I got to hope that there's still some out there who would say that.
And that's another interesting part of our mission. You know, we perpetuate history ourselves. Yeah. By the way, not Elvis's first indoor show.
No?
That is a complete myth.
Oh!
I don't know how it started.
It's totally out there everywhere.
I know it is. Totally. I have no idea how it started, but just this one fact will disprove that. The Florida Theater shows in 1956 were the end of a 9-city, 11-day tour in which he did 27 shows.
Wow.
All indoors. Polk Theater in Polk, a theater in Tampa, a theater in Sarasota. He started at the Olympia in Miami. So 27 shows and 11 days, all of them in theaters.
Wow. So the rewriting last was here, history, though. Correcting
yeah.
it right
literally
here.
Literally rewriting history right
See,
now.
See, that's what you call good marketing.
Yes, he was here. He was in this building. This is the place where the judge told him not to swivel his hips. And it's in the Baz Luhrmann movie, and I was so upset that they kind of fictionalized it a little bit because I thought it really happened, and it really happened in Jacksonville.
Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah. I love the history that we're able to. Is there a show this year that, like, NUMA, the president of the Florida Theater, is like, I have to be there. This is the show.
Momix, Contemporary Dance Company, coming in March. People are so afraid to go to a dance show because they don't know how to react. Like, even if you go to an avant-garde theater piece, there are still words to hang your hat on. People don't know how to go to a dance show because it's a little scary. Like, how do I interpret this? How do I act? This company is amazing, and they use their bodies and their light and effects to create flowers. Like, they will make flowers out of their bodies, and you'll say, how do they do that? They'll make a bridge. It's half dance and half illusion. Huh.
Lots of hip swiveling.
Yeah, lots of hip swiveling. Very well played.
Very well legal, too, now.
But that's the one I'm excited about, and that's the one I wish people would take a chance on this month.
I know we're not going to get it all out of you, and before we let you go, as you're programming out the 100th year, is there a feel or a texture to it that you can already give us a taste of? I know you're not able to say what the programming will be, but what will be that feel and texture of it for 100?
It will be a bigger than normal year. We're going to have a yet to be defined series of performances that will be bigger than normal. You know, I think people kind of know what to expect from us, and every now and then we get to do something bigger than normal, and we're going to try to do a bunch of that in one year.
Awesome.
We have a number of folks who call Jacksonville home, and we've been in discussions with some of them about doing something special with us that year. And there'll also be a birthday party, which will probably be open to the public and free for our donors on the anniversary.
How fun will that be?
Yeah.
I know you don't want to look ahead too much, but you're already planning ahead for it. I know.
Oh, yeah,
you can't
we're
wait.
Actively thinking about it.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you for having us here today. We do so appreciate you and April, everyone who has been a part of getting us here today.
Well, it's great to see you all out in the wild.
Indeed. We like to be out here.
They don't usually let us go out in the wild. They're scared.
Scotty, great work back at Master Control. For Christine Bellino, Rich Jones, and Benjamin Fritkus and Sydney Mark, thank you all. And Sarah Kranick, thank you for everything that you were able to do to hook us up today. Sarah is the director of marketing, and she's probably your first point of contact if you are part of a school group or any other group that wants to connect here at the Florida Theater. We'll see you tomorrow for History, Liberty, and Laughs with Brian Kilmeade, live from the Florida Theater. It's 9:56.